Thank you. Lord, we just talk to you, Jesus, my shepherd, Savior, friend, prophet, priest, King, my Lord, my life, my way, my help. Accept the praise of God. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Lord. Lord, you're teaching us more about the fellowship with you, with each other. Lord, to be intimate like this, singing is great. Oh, God, it fills every need. It fills our social need, our emotional need, our mental need, everything. Because you just take everything into account. And what's better than worshiping you, Lord? Hallelujah. I don't want it to sing. Why are you doing it? Let's sing. The tune starts out almost like the last. Turn it up for you.
Oh,
comes where to the humble heart, to the quiet mind, you unfold to help us see. You really do unveil the nations, individuals from the nations. Will you please, in the coming days and weeks and months and years, unveil these great certainties, these unchangeable things, Lord, so that our hearts, our faith may be established deeper than the very scriptures themselves, deeper than the very words themselves, right into the dimension of seeing what it's all about, how to do.
Amen.
What you're doing, what we're part of, so that in many a way we are carried along, like a skiff on a river, or a canoe on a river, even through the whitewaters, even through the rapids, even through the parts of the stream that toss, Lord, the motion, the energy of what we've seen and what we are seeing bear us all along. We pray for one another in this way. Take from our souls the strength and stress.
Amen.
Take it away.
Amen.
Help us to come unto you with profound trust, knowing that he who began a good work in us faithful to complete. Amen. Your work, Lord, than our work. We have to simply cooperate. And on it goes, on the work goes. You don't take your hand off the clay.
Amen.
You don't take your hand off the clay and say, I'm fed up with that. You don't toss it onto some heap, Lord, the hand remains. Yeah, even when the clay work was marred, it was marred in the hands of the potter. It was marred in his hands. And he made it again, a vessel that pleased him, as it pleased him. He made it a vessel, as it pleased him. With it. Till it pleased him. So you showed the prophet Jeremiah. Glorious Lord.
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing when we begin to read your scriptures with your spirit unfolding the vital truths contained therein. Amen. Go on doing it, Lord.
Yes.
Our hands to you openly, openly, Lord. Teach me thy ways and unfold them to me more and more, so that I truly am more conscious of you, your ways and your workings, than I am of anything else round about.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, Father.
I'd like to give a little testimony. You got a song?
I would just like to read a hymn.
Okay.
Okay. It's actually 84 in Redemption Hymnal. That's constantly on my mind, no matter where I go, because it's in my heart. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In purer lives, thy service find. In deeper reverence, praise. In simple trust, like theirs who heard beside the Syrian sea, the gracious calling of the Lord, let us, like them, without a word, rise up and follow thee. O Sabbath rest by Galilee, O calm of hills above, where Jesus knelt to share with thee the silence of eternity. Interpreted by love. With that deep hush subduing all our words and works, that drown the tender whisper of thy call. As noiseless let thy blessing fall, as fell thine anodyne. Drop thy still dews of quietness, till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Breathe through the heats of our desire, thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire. Speak through the earthquake, wind and fire, O still, small voice of God.
And I bet you've got that up on the wall.
Sorry?
I bet you've got the last line of that song on the wall. Is that right?
The wall.
Oh, the whole hymn.
You got it written on the wall.
Oh, yes, sorry. I'm so close to happier.
Look, well, let's sing that, but I want to say something. Did you want to say something?
No.
Oh. Let's see that then. You know, Paul says, do everything unto edification when we gather together. And that's really an exhortation, I think, as we mature. When I was in many ways emotionally deformed as a kid. You might think I still am as an adult. I press on, you know. We've all got our background. But when I was in high school, we had to get into speech class. And I'll tell you, that was frightening. And I, you know, you have to come up with speeches. Okay, demonstrative speech. My dad was a chemist. He said, I think our whole family gave a speech on how to make toothpaste. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. But nowadays, you can see that on YouTube if you want. I was just scared to death. I didn't have anyone really to confide in. You know, when you're scared, you want someone to hold your hand when you're little, and I guess when you're big sometimes as well. But praise God, a time came when I had a message, and that changed my life. God saved me. I was born again. It was real, and it was clear, even though, like Oswald Chambers says, the first few years of a Christian's life are somewhat chaotic, right? Everything's turned upside down. But yeah, I've got a message. So do you. But I found, as I got going in the Lord, to be able to proclaim the truth, to be able to share, to be able to speak. I remember Doug said once, God had one son and he made him a preacher. What do you think of that? Do you remember that, Doug? You must have been in a trance and the Lord was speaking, you know. Oh, I'll never forget it. God had one son and he made him a preacher. No, I know, we have our callings.
Just so you all know, Richard's been honing these skills for years. And I saw it in its infancy form back then. And it had a promising future. You're all perfect.
I trust. But Siri, you know, it doesn't mean we've all got a certain fixed format of being a preacher or this or that, but declaring Jesus Christ. And I made a point of it. I'm just telling you what happened in my mind early on. Matter of fact, even before I was born again, I remember going to this Saturday night fellowship that we went to where we met Doug. Kathy and I went, and is Kathy here?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure Bernard keeps it alive. I just made a point. I want to be one who declares God's glory. I hope you don't think I'm in your face. I don't ever do that. Facebook for me is something where I just share my life. It's not, you know, I'm not preaching there. Sometimes I say things, whatever. But it's no good getting in a fight on Facebook, you know. But, yeah, I set my heart to just, and so you might think it's strange, but I consciously think about singing. I want you to enjoy singing. I think that we all have this glorious opportunity to contribute our voice, you know. And I think the wonder about singing in a group is God has a way of even taking in the voices that aren't that great. Like if you're afraid, I don't know how y'all, each of you sing, but you know, it all works, doesn't it? It all works. But all that we do, we pray. Now, Jesus said, these are the two greatest, love the Lord, love your neighbor. And so we gather together, we sing to God, and in some ways we're singing to each other, you know, like that covenant song. You know, that sing with me, blessed spirits, sing with me. And we're singing to God. And that's the simple reason that we can, that God wants us to speak and share. You know, you might think like you're nothing, like, who cares? Who cares about me, Lord? But each one of us, you know, we're a child of God. We have things to say. People want to hear you, especially the men. Men tend to be sort of embarrassed about singing. I mean, here it's totally different, but you know, men are, their voices are deep. They're meant to be this foundation, and the women are this like beautiful crescendo in the whole thing of singing together, don't you think? Yeah. And if you're an unusual man and you have a high voice, well, that's okay. Or a woman that's a baritone or a bass. I don't know, it might be a little odd, but, you know, there it is. But anyway, God gave me a message, and that's what transformed me as far as becoming who I am, who God wanted me to be, a testimony to Him, right? And to be proud of the gospel and proud of declaring Him. Hey? Yeah, it is.
Can we sing More Love Today? It's not in any of the books, but people have devices. And it's just such a beautiful song. I don't know if you know
it. We're going to sing. No, I think it'd be good. We're going to sing what Hazel was reading. And it might be a new song for you. Maybe the tune is. But Bernard actually, Bernard read this one of the men's meetings or one of the Zoom meetings we had, and I found it was in the red book, or so here it is in this little white red book. Amen. Let's sing. You know, there's.
Oh,
He goes through the poem, maybe 10 or 12 or 13 verses, narrating all about the false worships around the world, about the drugs that are involved, about all that sort of thing. And then he comes to the moment of change. Oh, this word, how he speaks. Tremendous, really, how it all links up. Oh, dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. So he begins, talks about reclothing us in our rightful mind, in purer lives thy service find. Deeper reverence, praise. And he moves through the states of those who worship the Lord and really come to the realms of true worship. Oh, Sabbath rest by Galilee. Oh, calm of hills above, where Jesus knelt to share with thee the silence of eternity. Interpreted by love. And so he moves through and he contrasts. So it's the brewings of Soma, any of you are interested in reading the whole poem, and then you'll see a little clearer the beauty of these words and how he corrects and brings us right through and to the climax. Isn't it where he says, oh, still, small voice
Amen. Amen. You know that God dwells in eternal calm. Eternal calm. All his works come out of his eternal calmness. Even the works of judgment shall come forth out of that state of God. Amen. It's a great thing to sometimes, and I agree with Doug about the thank God for true poets. Hallelujah. Who hone their skills in the deep presence of God. I wrote songs years and years ago, and I tried to hone them in the presence of God and failed miserably. Many of them were recorded, but I more often honed them smashing around on my guitar. And but in the silence with God, in the stillness. Amen. And this is a man like that. And, you know, Wesley was a man like that. And Isaac Watts, that one we sang the other day, holy, holy, holy. Amen. You understand. Don't neglect to be in his presence.
We don't have to do stuff to be cool, you know. But to lift up these, even the skills to God, huh? Yeah. You know, this is an interesting meter. This, the third and fourth lines always rhyme. And in some ways, it's sort of like a new blank picture that a poet can use to fit in what he wants to say. And this, it's a difficult tune, isn't it? But what's wrong with that? You know, how about, you know, we learn, I mean, the songs that we hear, we seek to learn, and I find it a difficult one. I've never heard of it, and I, when I first started listening, I put on, I listened on YouTube, and some choirs, you know, more of the staid traditional choirs. But when you, sometimes when you hear a whole choral group sing some of these, they're like, wow, you know. And you listen a while and you catch the tune. And I think I caught it pretty good, but I don't know if I was a good leader. Don't follow me, you'll get lost. But I love it. I love the things that lift up and bring this sense of majesty, really. A sense of, This is not your average stuff. This guy strove with his love for God to write things that lifted up. And sometimes I hear prayers, different ones of you, and it's, you know, there's nothing wrong at all singing I love you, because sometimes we don't need all the stuff, you know, but it just brings color. It brings a sense of, this is worthy of a king, you know? That's what I think. This is worthy of a king. And so the more we do just for God, it's going to trickle down and people will appreciate it if you're doing something, you know? Just thoughts.
You wanted to say one. Do we know that?
More love to thee. Probably people that know that from a hymn book. Do you know that?
I don't do.
More Love to Thee.
Would you too like to sing a duet? Phil, this is your moment. Sorry, brother. Just dancing.
We need a musician.
How many know it?
More Love to Thee.
Does
somebody know it? The singer?
Cassie and Robert, she could sing.
We're singing. Yeah.
Cassie and Robert could sing it, I heard.
From way back, I know, but I don't have,
I don't know the lyrics.
Yeah.
Well,
you
want to
sing
a verse?
Oh, yeah.
Becky's mine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sing it.
You
want to?
Yeah.
You've got a voice. Sing. Yes. I love the Pope.
Now are you ready, Becky?
If I can't do as well as they say,
get my bank now.
More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the
Thank you.
this verse too. Oh, lay my heart to be found. Oh, oh Lord, I reach there where verse 5, every power finds sweet employ, that eternal world of joy. Amen.
Says this, enter in to the world of joy. It is no longer a world of condemnation. It is no longer a world of cringing at your own inabilities and errors and mistakes. There is no condemnation. The past is forgiven. I forget your sins as you bring yourself to me in true submission and love and with a heart of determination to walk in my ways. I will bring you more and more into this joy, that which so often they seem elusive, something you begin to believe you're not worthy of, something that from time to time appears impossible. But there is that joy of the Spirit, the fruit. My son walked on the earth, he was filled with this fruit of love, of joy, of peace, patience, forgiveness, all these things that are of my Spirit were embodied in him. And you, precious one, I am taking you on. I am giving you good ground for growth. That which you experience and find around you, that you may have joy. Fear not. Do not condemn yourself in that which may seem elusive, but follow your God. Love your God. Joy comes. Joy to overflowing. Joy. Enter into the world of joy without forcing it, without twisting yourself up, but just enter in. I give great joy. Joy comes with the morning. Those of you who are struggling through a time of what seems to be darkness and loneliness, difficulty, without many to turn to, joy comes in the morning. Joy comes, precious ones. Amen.
scripture together for the last time. We are together this time. First, a couple of corrections. I have been informed of a couple of things that I ought to bring to your attention. One of them, it is true that dove's eyes can only see one thing at a time. It is true. But they can see amazingly one thing at a time with so the eyes are on the sides of the head, and they can swivel, but they can only see one thing at a time. So their gaze is singular. So that eye, singular, can see things over there or wherever it swivels to. And this eye can only see singular, but it can swivel. Isn't that amazing? So the principle is right, except the eyes are on the sides of the head and have this capacity to swivel. And their eyes are singular in perception. That's the first corrective that I've been corrected in. I've also been corrected about David Wilkerson. And apparently he did not throw his TV through the window. He sold it. The first... Now, this is the interesting thing. He sank into the same condition again at a time of difficulty. I think this was in New York, I'm not sure. But later on in his ministry, anyway. And he got back to this habit of, in his disconsolate state, he used to come home from the meeting, put his feet up and watch the TV. Only this time, he did not sell it. He did not throw it out of the window. He took his gun and shot it. Now that's a better corrective, isn't it? Though I have to ask, what's he doing with a gun? But perhaps he's a hunter. Perhaps it was when he was in Texas. Say again? It was... Yes, I understood that. I knew he didn't have a shot at it in the house. I don't want to wreck things that are good.
Wasn't he originally from Pennsylvania?
Yes. He was in Texas when he did his TV. Well, yeah. That's right. That's Texas, okay. Oh, dear. Well, was Tennessee... Davy Crockett. Oh dear. Isn't it funny? Even as a boy, I sang about Davy Crockett.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, man. Think of what you young ones missed.
Why is it we're drinking too much of the old days?
Yeah, it's a sign of... Anyway.
It is.
Oh, dear. But I thought I'd bring those two correctives, because it is a very terrible thing how people can pick up on some wrong report or that inadvertently a preacher has given, and then they jettison the ministry. Do you know,
yes,
there were some meetings being held, the first opening meeting of a new church about 25 miles away from us, and it was held in the town hall, a very beautiful room, and there was sisters and brothers, one sister in particular, she wanted to bring a couple of her friends to the opening meeting. There's a visiting preacher coming and he's going to speak, and this is his name, you can look him up on whatever it is, and you can listen to a message so that you know what you're coming to. And I went to the meeting fully expecting that I would meet her and her friends and others. And there were quite a lot of people that came. It was the opening meeting of the church on a Sunday morning. And I said to her, her name's Julia, after the meeting, did your friends come? Because I didn't know most of the people there. And she said, no, because of one word you used. You used the word mystic. And they didn't want to come. One word. Yes. It is remarkable what prejudice does. How it blinds the eyes and stops hearts from blessing another young man from another country. I was so delighted to hear from him. I'd known him since he was a baby. And he was married and he was living in another country in Europe. I knew that much. I knew that he'd been through some rather difficult times. And I had a message. I don't know how he got my phone number, but he messaged me and he said, could we talk? And I wrote back to him, and I thought he was just wanting to warmly talk and renew fellowship. And I wrote back to him. I said, yes, I would be delighted if, now, you know, let's switch into WhatsApp. It's not going to cost us money that way. So we did. And we had a pleasant interchange, the first message. And then he said to me, he wrote on the next message, the real reason I've contacted you is to correct you on something that you said in a video I watched on YouTube. You talked a little bit about Calvary being the womb of God. I know it's a little strange. And you said, I don't agree with that. I hate that. And, you know, that very idea that Jesus, you know, that we come out of his side, you know, it doesn't say his womb, but we understand that the Lord Jesus, all in Christ we find. And it was only in that context that I was speaking. I could just about remember the video. And so I wrote back to him, not argumentatively at all. And I said, oh, I'm sorry you feel that way. And I said, did you listen to the whole message? And he wrote back and he said, no, 10 minutes. And I said, perhaps you would have done me the honor and the word the honor of listening not only to the whole message, but two or three in the context of the series I was giving. He was rather aggressive to me. I fear for you, Bernard. I fear that you are going, he's, by the way, reformed in his theology, I have since found out. In fact, I wrote to him, I said to him, my brother, have you, where you're living, suggests to me, the country where you are, suggests to me that maybe you have gotten into Reformed theology rather strongly. And he wrote back and said yes. And we conversed, and I said, I'm so glad for a little bit of interchange with you, brother. May the Lord bless you, and etc. And I terminated the WhatsApp. And then he wrote back to me maybe 2 months later. And his first question, his first message was, have you lost your first love, Bernard? And so I wrote back to him, well, thank you for your question, but not that I know of. Not that I know of. And then I waited for some sort of reply, and he said, thank you for your gentle reply. He said, perhaps I was impertinent, starting a conversation like that. And I wrote back to him, I said, yes, probably it was a bit And so we entered into another toing and froing for a week or so. These are the joys of being a preacher. Amen.
And where is it at now?
I don't know. I'm sure that he'll come back to me. You know, it's amazing the things in which we get tied up. Now, all I wanted to do this morning, because I'm thinking of that brewings of Soma, dear Lord and Father of mankind. I'm thinking about sweet is the work, my God, my King. And I'm thinking about these precious songs, you know. You do know, don't you, that it is the voice the Lord is always seeking, not the instrument. I find the instrument a distraction. Myself, but the voice. And I want to bring you back to something that Richard said earlier on in one of the earlier sessions, that he didn't think he had heard sung. What was the song? So beautifully.
Oh.
No, it wasn't that one. It was another one. But it doesn't matter. But where you touched, there was some harmony in it. And there was no sense of performance in it. Performance does not belong at any point in the church. As someone who played a lot in large auditoriums, last time I played in an auditorium was in the concert hall in a Polish city. I played a grand piano. A few years ago, I was asked to do it, and I was asked preach a little bit, and I sat at the piano and I played London Derriere. Do you know what that is? Oh, Danny boy.
Oh, yeah.
The pipes are cool. From glen to glen. Did you know that there are Christian words to it? I cannot tell. Angels worship. That's right. And I played it in a sort of jazz idiom. And then I sang some of the words, and a brother translated them. Not the Danny Boy words, but I cannot tell. And I spoke from the verses of that hymn, and I was interpreted. In this concert hall, it was a privilege to play there. And they were very worried that some strange man should play their choice, highly expensive grand piano. And does he know how to play? Is he familiar with pianos and concert halls? And they were able to say yes. And but years ago, that was the truth. But, you know, there's a point, a line. And this is present every time, and it's present for a preacher too, where you cross that line into performance. And as soon as you do that, you're in the flesh. Is it in the book? Is it? No, I don't sing it. Amen. Amen. It's the voice the Lord is always after. The voice which issues out of a heart, so that the voice is the channel of the heart, and the atmosphere becomes filled with the testimony of the Lord, and it echoes far beyond the confines of the room. It echoes in the spirit, for if it is the voice of the Spirit coming out of your mouths, it echoes in the Spirit far and wide, in the country, where you are. And I bring to you this again, forgive me if it's again for some of you, but it bears repeating. The monk, or the wild young man born in France, named Thomas Merton, whose parental life, his life with his parents and family, was pretty tragic, who was a wild young man and who found himself ending up in New York, and a priest, a godly priest, took him under his wing. And this man came to the Lord beyond the church, but he came to the Lord within the parameters of Roman Catholicism. We all come to the Lord through and around and in the parameters of something. Good to grasp that. But the parameters are not the Lord. The Lord is the heart of everything. So you can come to the Lord and your start can be within the parameters of some crazy charismatic group. Some that becomes a sect. It can be in a Roman Catholic church. It can be in a Baptist church. It can be, you know, whatever you, but you're not to live within those parameters. God is bigger. The Lord Jesus is bigger than the parameters in the midst of which you found him. It's vital, and that simple fact get into your heart. And your roots have got to go deeper into him than the set of people that you found him. And you've got to let his spirit take you beyond the favorite phraseologies of your set. You've got to let the Lord take you right into his own heart. So we all require phraseology. We all require words that define your understanding, but everything is the person, the person, the person. It is your person with his person. And as your person is right with his person, so he will be able to entrust you to other persons. And other persons to you. This is where things are going so wrong. That people are trapped, actually. You can become trapped in Wesleyan doctrine. You can become trapped in Reformed doctrine. You can become trapped in charismatic doctrine. You can become trapped in Pentecostalism. You understand? And he is greater than all. And he bids you come on. And dear Thomas Merton, well, he was like this. But he wouldn't let himself get trapped. The characteristic of that man is that he was hungry to know God. And he had that lovely characteristic that I have noticed more in those who come from a Roman Catholic background than those who come from the average American evangelical background, and certainly the charismatic background. He had that characteristic of reverence. He reverenced God. God was never his pal. And of course, he went through the necessary things that you do when you're in the parameters of Catholicism. Of course, he was, you know what happens to them. You know how he took the communion. Frequently, he would have sat and looked at the little red light in the quietness, because he had been taught that there was a little wafer of bread in there and was the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't accord any magical properties to it. He just wanted to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a young man, he was taken down for some reason, or invited, very talented man, to Kentucky, to a place called Gethsemane, to a monastery for a weekend. And he went through what he described as a life-changing epiphany. This, I think, was in 1942. And what he went through was that as he sat there and listened to these men, whose lives were completely focused on the worship and the praise of God, these men whose were passing through the daily rituals in which all their powers were subjected to praying, to chanting, to reading scripture, to contemplation, because they were Cistercians, Trappist order, it's a silent order, where they don't talk to one another except rarely, and where everything is by hand, and so on. What he saw, this epiphany, he saw that worshipping men together were more important than the White House. That's what he saw. That where brethren dwell together in unity and they are seeking and focused upon the Lord and in the rhythms of prayer and worship and prayer and chanting in their case, because that was the parameters, that was, it was more important. He saw it like this. These praying men are the center of the United States. Amen. Keep that fixed in your mind. He wrote about it in his biography, which he was encouraged to write 5 years later. It was published in 1947, and it became one of the best-selling books ever in this country. You may not know that. Worldwide. But he knew. Is it still on, isn't it? And hallelujah. But you know, it is a very wonderful thing. And I mention the story because of the importance of the ones and the twos. The ones and the twos whose lives... Do you know what Cistercian life is like?
You know that when men draw near, perhaps a businessman can draw near
to a Cistercian monastery, he is drawing near to the door of a place where if he goes in, he's leaving everything. He is submitting himself utterly to a life dedicated to God. And mark it that this is still happening today. We were in Ireland once already this year. We were in Ireland for 3 weeks, and we're going back there again for about six in the middle of September. But there's a young man, and he's in a group in Cork. Where's he gone? Where's he gone? And he had newly come into the church. He had newly come from a Roman Catholic background. And God had so gripped this young man that for him, and he talked it over with Tig, I think Tig is Irish for Timothy, one of our brothers named Tig. And this young man, I said, where's he gone? He's joined a monastery. There are quite a number of young men joining that male monastery. He so wants to give his life to God that that's the form, that's the background, that he's moved into that direction. Oh yes, some of them speak in tongues. Some of them know about the gifts of the Spirit. But he saw something. And it's amazing. A young man, 26 years old. No marriage for him. You know, God's getting his people. You may regard this as a strange way to talk, but you must understand that in your way, this is what God wants. in that way, in that form, that it is to take into your life, and you are to continue in it into older age, and until you're right at the end of your days. A life that is for God alone. For God alone. And you must examine yourself. I have to examine myself. What would I have done with my life otherwise? Yes, he loves you. Yes. And we must be very thoughtful, by the way, and very prayerful as to whether we should have a gathering next year like this. Because we want to do it in the rhythms of God. And we want to honor others in this area. And we have to be very thoughtful and prayerful and sure. This is one of the things that I have learned because my life has been full of travel and movement. We have lived in 28 houses. We have moved house 28 times in our 54 years of marriage. We have moved back and forth between countries and things like that. Amen. And all of those moves we've sought, and I want to be very honest with you. There was one move that we made where my wife, and I can only put it this way, I did not have a red light, but I did not have a green light. I had whatever you call an amber light, or do you call it a yellow light?
Yellow.
But we did it anyway, and there were people prophesying over us. You must go. God's business requires haste. And we went there, and there's one man who would say, thank God we went there, but I believe it was a mistake. My wife wanted to go, and I love my wife, and we were in difficult times, and it wasn't such a happy scene. We broke one of those rules, by the way, and I only woke up to this when talking with Kathy and Richard just a few months ago after Mum died. And I suddenly realized Mum had died. My mother had died. We'd looked after her for 3 years. She was an exceedingly sad and difficult lady. She was particularly difficult for Hazel. And I had to do things uncharacteristic for me to subdue her, for she would have been queen of the house, and I couldn't allow it. I couldn't allow it. I couldn't allow her to abuse my wife and run our lives. So, not an easy time. And then she passed suddenly. And I suddenly realized only a few weeks ago that we made one of those big mistakes where a warm invitation came to us, move to Canada. We want you in Canada. 3 weeks. You should never make a serious decision within a year of the passing, the death of someone close to you. You should give your heart time to settle down. I'd forgotten that. I'd said it to others. But I'd forgotten that myself, and Hazel wanted to get out of England, and the prophecies started flying in, you know, and go. And in the end, of course, we got in on a religious workers' visa. We were working on getting permanent residence, and anyway, Ken could. It's best not to talk about some of these things. But dear old Ken, he says, dear old Ken. Now that's a Londonism, dear old Ken.
It's like I got here by the skin of my teeth.
Yeah. Yeah. Ken would never have been here if we hadn't moved to Canada. You know, there were others the same who'd say the same. So that even in our mistakes, but we had to leave with tail between leg, you know. You know, it's funny how things happen. God is so good. You learn through everything. And we found ourselves back in England. People saying, come, come. So we came. There we were again, another move. And it's so good, God's ways. You just don't learn them out of the Bible. You learn him in the thick of things. You learn his faithfulness, his care, and you don't mope. You don't mope. You must quit. You know, as I say these things to you, I just want to take you to one scripture. I would really like to talk to you about sort of reading the scripture, but we'll just do it on this one story. So it's Elijah. And it's Elijah. And you know where he's to be found, don't you? And he's down there in Kings, in the first book of Kings. And he's down there, hallelujah, and he proclaims a drought. Isn't that interesting? A man can proclaim a drought. Chapter 17 of the first book of Kings. And in the midst of Ahab and all the rest of it, I needn't go over the whole thing with you. But there he is, the water dries up. He proclaims the drought, the water dries up. God looks after him. God does this, God does that, God does the other. Then in due time, of course, the victory on Mount Carmel, which is chapter 18. So Ahab, verse 20, sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. Famous story, manly story. Man, man, man. He's a man. And so this is chapter 18, verse 20. And all the people came, and they gathered 450 or 60 prophets of Baal. And then the challenge goes out, doesn't it? You know, the God that answers by fire. The God that answers by fire. And then you read this about this battle. I really enjoy this, the way Elijah speaks. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left, prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves. Cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but I will put no fire under it. Then you shall call upon the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it's well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves, and prepare it first, for you are many. And call upon the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it, called on the name of Baal from morning to even, even noon. And, Baal, hear us. Oh. But there was no voice, no one answered. Then they leapt about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's meditating or he's gone to the toilet. That's what he actually says. He's busy, sorry?
Some translations.
Say, he's gone to the toilet. Yeah. Some translations.
Tyndale Ritchie wrote, has your God gone to the outhouse?
Yeah, to the outhouse. Amen. That's a real mockery, isn't it? Really mocking. So they cried aloud and cut themselves. And as was their custom, with knives and lances, until the blood gushed out on them. And when the midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering. There's a release. I hope that you notice the sequence of these things. They started to prophesy. There was a flow of utterance, and it wasn't out of their own flesh. This is demonic, because they'd begun to cut their flesh. They had got into a frenzy. That this, I have actually seen this taking place. I've actually seen it in the Sudan, in Africa, in Khartoum. When I went out, was taken out, it was the Feast of Ishmael. It's the first time. They wouldn't take me out. If you'd have been there, most of you, they wouldn't have taken you. But because I'm swarthy in complexion, they dressed me in a jalabiya, and a head thing, and I went out into the night time. I saw the dervishes with their swords. I saw the incredible phenomena and the music and the way these men were slashing around and missing one another. It was thoroughly demonic. And I saw them as they got themselves into this frenzy. They began to prophesy. They began to shout. They began to shout, jihad, jihad, Allah, Allah, Allah Akbar. Until the sense of spiritual release of a terrible nature gushed out. There was blood everywhere. There were animals dead, lambs slain, blood everywhere. It's amazing when you see these things. But this is what happened. And the distinction, my brethren, is what I want to get to. I guess the food's arrived or something. Here it says, nothing happened. No one paid attention. Verse 30 says, then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him. That's important. That's important. Come near. Don't stand on the edge. You will find this about God and his will. He will say to you, come near, come near, come near, come near. Don't stay at a distance. Come near. So the man of God said that, and amen. Dear Elijah, so he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. If ever I wanted to say something in this conference, it's this, that in the Church of America, the altar's been broken down. The cross is not preached in the power of the Spirit. The way of sacrifice is not lived. The prophets are not prophesying about what matters. They are not calling the church back to the cross. They are talking about this is going to happen in Canada, and that's going to happen here, and Mr. Trump that, or Kamala Harris the other, or whatever. They're going on about these things. It's folly. They're not true prophets. True prophets. We'll be calling the church back to the cross, to build the altar again, to build the altar, my brother, to come to the cross, to stop indulging your children with your money. Control yourself with your food.
Yeah.
Stop filling your belly. Get the wine out of the house. I mean it. The cross. Back to the cross. If the television is an obstruction to you and you know it, get it out. Do a David Wilkerson without the gun. Sell it. Give the money to mission, to the Lord, or you know. Amen. He built again the altar. He gathered the people round the altar. Watch what I'm doing. See what I'm doing. Draw near. You're the people of God. Stop wasting your time with another hour on a computer game. Ask God to give you grace to read a good book if you're not a reader. I mean it. He can make you into a reader. Not everybody is a natural reader. I was a natural reader. I read adventure books. Hornblower. I loved Hornblower. And, you know, pathway he went. But anyway, you don't want a lesson on C.S. Forrester. But build the altar. No, I love it. It's so detailed. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Amen. Sons of Jacob, Israel shall be your name. Prince with God shall you be. Prince with God shall your sons be. Prince with God shall the victorious one come forth from the tribe of Judah in their time. Identify with your name, who you are. I mean it. So he takes the 12 stones one by one by one by one, and Jesus chose his 12 stones one by one by one by one. Peter and James and John and Andrew and Thaddeus and so on and so forth. And one of them fell away and was replaced by the Lord, 12 stones. Was it Saul or was it Matthias? Who knows? It doesn't matter. But you know that there are 12 stones in the foundations of the New Jerusalem. You read their names. The names of the apostles are in the foundation stones. Get it clear. Fixed, fixed, fixed. My heart is fixed, eternal God, fixed on thee, fixed on thee, and my eternal choice is made.
Christ for me.
Amen. Christ for me. That's the sort of manly song. I mean it. You know, and the Lord here moving Elijah, and it says that with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench round it. Hallelujah, he made a trench round it. And it says, can you imagine him digging, strength to dig
a deep trench?
He's turning the altar of God into an island. He's separating the people of God from everything that's round about. We are a separate people. We are a separate people. We don't belong in this world. And he's creating an island. And then he's going to slay the thing, going to put wood on the altar. And he's going to put the sacrifice on the altar, the burnt sacrifice on the wood. Then he said, you know, it's lovely, isn't it? He put the wood in order, verse 33, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood, and said, fill four water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time, so that the water ran all around the altar. And he also filled trench with water. It's an island. God's island. God's people. An island. A separate island. Amen. And then what happened? You all know. So it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I'm your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kidron and executed them there. The whole thing is an absolute supernatural act. The strength of a man to slay 450. The strength of a man to have just dug out a trench. The strength of a man to wield stones of some proportion and put them together. A man who was imbued with strength from on high. And he got it absolutely right. Amen. Yeah. You realize what you've got to do. You want to see fire on this nation? Or do we want to? There's got to be men and women like this. Separate. You've got to accept. You've got to be part of the island. For the fire fell where the island was. The fire fell Hallelujah. And then the water began to flow. You remember what happened next? It was a time of drought. And then Elijah ran faster than the chariot, everything. It's a wonderful story. It's so dramatic, powerful, mighty. It just shows you principles of God's ways that don't alter. And you and I have got to be like this. And the water shall begin to flow in the land of the United States when in the vanguard of everything there are Elijahs raised up and people, and the people who will bring separation like this, and they will gather around and they will accept God's way. Amen. And the rain will come as much as he wants it to. Amen. But I want to conclude with what dear Elijah experienced next. A lady. A lady. Jezebel, he cowers. All his emotional energy, all his spiritual fire, everything seemed to dissipate at the word of a woman. One little thing. And he runs. I haven't got time to read it all, but I have got time to bring you to this most important thing. Because he said, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. When you think that you're special, and there's no one else, you make yourself vulnerable to Jezebel. And you think you're the one. And then you have the kindly ways of God. And he runs and he runs and he runs. And he's got to make a journey to the mountain of God. The Lord feeds him by an angel. You remember it? And then he gets to the mount of God. And the great restoration that energizes him to go and do the next thing is basically stop feeling sorry for yourself.
Amen.
Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Amen. Now, listen to me. A voice. He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the fire. He's not in the thunder. He's not in the storm. He's in the voice that's so still. It's there all the time. Listen. I don't think I'm abnormal. In the early years of our marriage in the first house that was given to us, I'd been baptized in the Spirit quite a while. Just a few years. He came upon me in quietness. My wife would go up to bed and I would sit quiet. Midnight, 12:30, 1 o'clock, 1:30, 2 o'clock. I heard no voice, but I heard him. I heard the sound of still, small voice. And you might ask, what was he saying? I am. I am. I am. I am. Never left me. Sit in a chair, be still. I am. Get quiet enough. I am. I am. A profound God consciousness underneath everything. If you fail, as Richard pointed out, if you sin, you get quiet enough. I am. I am. A presence to roll your misery upon. A presence to roll your self-sorrow upon. Presence ever there, in the car, in the airport, in the plane, speaking, still, small voice, so that your life becomes built upon his presence. In your own heart, never leaving nor forsaking, sometimes giving insights and revelation, but not always, always providing the strange contentment that enables you to wait, and not hurry and rush. Hallelujah. That's it. That's it. Still, small voice. If you want to know a word about this, you're being still and knowing that he is God. You're coming into the habit of that. Yes. That's for everyone. That's for you. May not be the same as for me. But down the road, the 65... I saw some young men, loved them, not in Life of Christ, but in another church. They'd always have a men's meeting for me, and I loved being with them, 20 of them, I guess, and I noticed that they had a certain, I could see them like young saplings, little young trees, and I could see them that God wanted them to grow up into real strong trees. And we used to talk, and they would ask questions, we'd share together, and then perhaps 5 years later we were with them again. And I listened to them talk, and I heard some of their remarks, and I just noticed they were a bit different. They weren't little saplings now. Some of them were grown up into young trees. And I said to them, what's happened to you, some of you? I can sense a change in some of you. And they said to me, we did what you said. I said, whatever did I say? And they said, you said to us 5 years ago, you said to us more or less this, I know you have busy lives. I know that you have young families to raise. I know that time is very filled. I also know you have a hunger for God. But you do have time to be still and know that He is God. Some of you have a half an hour commute. Take it slowly. Don't join the mad lot careering. And as you drive, turn that wretched radio off. And just say to God, I am here. I am here. And a strange peacefulness will descend upon you. And at times, you will find that He will bring a verse of scripture to you. Meditate on it. Word by word. Quietly. And then when you commute back home, do the same thing. Make it a sanctuary. For some of you, if you've got no commute, then don't take lunch. Go quiet. Go somewhere quiet. Just sit there with the Lord. Be quiet. Say, Lord, I am here. Make your car your sanctuary. It's the only place. You go and sit out there quiet. I am here. I am here. It's the greatest need of your life. And I know that some of your homes are filled with yelling children. They're up and driving everybody scatty by the time 5:30's come. Not all households are like this. So just whenever you can, be still and know that I am God. And they said to me, that's what you told us 5 years ago. And some of us have been doing it. And the result is we know we're different. Amen. Amen. So I'll stop encouraging you in the way of saints. It's not hard, is it? I had a wife who's allowed me to do this for 54 years. Amen. It's irritated her at times, hasn't it, darling? Yes. You know. But it's good. Be blessed, brothers and sisters. Be blessed. Pardon?
Still.
Still.
What's... I do not. Would you like to sing that?
Thank you, Bernard. Why don't we stand up and sing?
Thank you. Thank you.
we're saying we are going to be still when these things happen. God give us grace. Few of the young people asked if the old people could pray for them. So, if you're an old person, come on up. Maybe stand up here. If you're a young person, come on up. Yeah, John? If you're an old person at heart, get up here. If you're a young person at heart, come on, let's seriously pray for them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to force our prayers on young pups who don't want to hear. But then when they want to pray, I'm taking it that you guys are young. I mean, you know, you can stand in the middle of the line.
I think that's where I'm at.
Oh man.
Yeah. Amen, Father.
Yeah, let's
Amen.
Pray.
Father, thank you for each one.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Lord, the diversity, the difference,
Hallelujah.
The variety. Well,
Amen.
We can't put peripheries around that, which is great.
Amen.
Lord, oh. I pray from my heart, Lord. So much thanks for each one of them.
Amen.
Lord, and the wonder of each life that you've got hold of.
Father.
Lord, thank you that you will keep your hold upon them.
Father.
You are the faithful one, so unchanging. And my heart continually, Lord, will continue to entrust them to your care. Lord, every fresh step, I just read this morning, you will go before them. You are the resurrected one, Lord. You are the one
yeah.
who is in glory. And you will take them on step by step.
Hallelujah.
Lord, give them, give to their hearts, Lord, that which will be still in different times.
Yeah.
Lord, as they pass, they'll be passing through different things that we've already passed through, even though everything is very different. But Lord, they are precious to you.
Yes.
And they're very precious to us too. We know they're precious to their families.
Amen.
But Lord, above all, please give them a real deep sense, right in their depths, of their preciousness to you.
Amen.
So that on that basis, they can be themselves.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, thank you.
Father, I pray for these young people. Father God, these young men and these young women, they have 5 years ahead. Father God, strengthen them, Lord.
Jesus.
Father, give them a single-eyedness in the Word. Father, give them this single eye to see you first, Lord,
Jesus.
To trust in you, to seek you, and to allow you to bring all things to pass, and to bring the spouses into their lives,
yes.
and then the things to pass, and the children into their lives. God, give them great, incredible wisdom beyond their years, Lord God, but strengthen them, Father, for the years ahead. Give them clarity of thought, clarity of understandings, clarity in the knowledge of you. Father, raise them up to be this next generation of strong men and women to carry on the name and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, you know that all of us need to be praying for these things. But Lord, we pray for these dear young ones. I'm thinking, Lord, of how you want to teach them to follow the leader, Lord.
That's right.
Not to follow themselves, but really to be a precious, submitted man or woman of God. Following you, Lord, really following you, listening for you, dropping that they can or should drop, taking up that which they should take up, Lord, and just go on with you, Lord, who they are. Lord, it's a time of discovery, to discover who they are as individuals, Lord. We don't want them to be clones of us. But followers of you, Lord. But Lord, it's a tall order, Lord. But you can do it. Help them, develop them, mature them. Oh God,
Let them be even like Jesus when he was 12, discussing with the rabbis, but yet nevertheless obedient, Lord, to in that realm where they should be. Oh God, amen. Show them your love every day and help them, Lord, when the storms come, because I think the scripture is when the storms come. Lord, help them to be still and to look up to you and to know they don't have to worry. They don't have to worry about money. They don't have to worry about career. They don't have to worry about gifting. Sure, they can pursue these things, Lord, but oh, what a place of rest to not have to worry about these things, God Almighty. But they're following you, who leads them into green pastures, who leads them into adventure, who leads them into situations where they can demonstrate and testify, Lord, that you are God. Amen, Lord.
Whether you have come by your parents' influence or another way, I have hand-selected you. These next years you will be in concentration and preparation as you mature for what I have.
Amen.
And when that time comes, you will be ready. You will be solid. You will be leaders.
Hallelujah. Father, Lord, I thank you. I can't express how my heart is so refreshed. I just pray that they can learn at such a young age the secret weapon that we didn't know of years ago. To be still, to absorb, to just be there. Even though it seems like nothing's happening, if somewhere it is, and it's good, and try to please let them, everyone own that, because it will help them in the hard, you know, hard times that will come for them, just because it comes to all men. And so bless each one of these children.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for all the kids for me. But Jesus, thank you for them. And bless them. Riches of heaven.
Father God, I thank you for your commitment to these young people.
Hallelujah.
That's your commitment, Father.
Yes,
and we
thank
you, God, for we know whom we have believed. And we're persuaded right now that you are able to keep all of these young people that we commit to you, Father, and the ones that we may carry in our hearts, Lord. And so we bless you for that, for your great faithfulness, for such a promise. Even for these young people, Lord, that they can always say, your commitment will always be greater than my commitment.
Amen.
And it's your commitment that will keep the
Amen.
And I thank you for that, Lord.
Amen.
I thank you for
that.
Amen.
And Father, you are faithful when they are not faithful. Yes. And you will hold them in the shadow of your wings. You will minister to them when they least expect it, Lord. You'll place their feet upon that narrow path to walk upon when others are on the broad way. But you will lead and guide them. You will be their stay, their fortress, their high tower, their strength. You will speak truth into the inward heart, Lord God. So it is there when they need to have it. Lord, and the Holy Spirit will pull it out in the times that they need to speak. Father, I thank you that you have them and that you will keep them until you need to desire to move them out and shoot them out like arrows into the places that you've called them to penetrate, Father God.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Now, Lord, you said to Peter, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat. You didn't rebuke Satan. That his faith fail not. And so, Lord, we pray for these children. These children, sorry.
Grown adults.
These young people, Lord, that I've so blessed our hearts.
Yes.
Put my hand on every one of them. Can I do that? That their faith fail not, Lord. This is an ugly world. We're not part of it. It wants to assimilate us. It wants us to all feel that we have to be apart. And God wants to know, no, you are not part of this world. You are His. He has called you. He has set you apart. He's put a seal upon you. You can't see it, but the angels can. Thank you, Jesus. Let their faith fail not. Did I get everybody? The young man back here. He received the other day.
And her too, yeah, with the hat.
Amen. Your faith fail not. Okay? It will be tested. It will be tested. When Jesus came out of the water of baptism and the Holy Spirit came down upon him and God said, this is my son, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. So don't think it's strange what happens. Know that you are loved. Know that you have to go through this, but that God can see you through
it. Yes. Yes.
And that he will be with you, always with you.
Yes.
Then he returns in the power of the
Spirit. Alex given me a picture, a row of shoes, 15 pairs or so, starting from little baby shoes up to the grand old shoes. And there's a sense in which you have begun first with baby shoes, soft, cute. You've moved on. Your feet have grown. You're ready for larger shoes. You've learned things. You've learned to run. You've learned to jump. And you're growing. Your feet grow. Moved into high school, some of you to college, but there are shoes awaiting. Important shoes, shoes of honor, shoes of giftings, waiting. But it's okay that you're not ready yet. If you put them on, you may trip. Fall, walk awkwardly, but the time will come. The time will come, and you can't rush it. But they're awaiting you. You're growing, growing. You can be excited about the future, about things that I'll call you to do. But grow in me, says the Lord. Grow in me. Let it happen. Do not force. You cannot force yourself to grow. But keep on. Keep on, day by day. Or are there things set before you in their time that you'll discover? God's people shall do great things, but not outside of God, and not for self, but in a fellowship with your Father, where you enter into true graduations, true steps of faith. Amen. Amen.
Here's a song for you.
He who began a good work in you, he who began a good work in you. completed. He'll be faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. He who began a good work in you, he who began a good work in you, he'll be faithful to complete it. He'll be faithful to complete it.
For every one of you.
Better with a guitar.
Every one of you.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
He who started a good work will be faithful to complete it. Amen. Jesus Christ. Bless you. Be loved.
Kathy's waiting.
Right.
Oh, lunch is ready.
Lunch is
ready. You know what? I just had a few notes. Why don't you have a seat? It'll be very quick, Kate. I know how the woman feels. let's see. This is the last time we're actually going to be on the gas room. Glory to God. Where's Kathy? Did she go back to the group? Oh. You know, I'm too heavily for any earth. What? What's that quick? Okay, yeah, the books. If you want to take a set, that's fine.
Thank you.
If you're going to throw them somewhere up where they collect dust, just leave them. I'll take them home. Okay? But feel free. Thank you to everybody. I'll be writing Jackie and Dalton to thank them again. But they've been such a help. And some of you, I know Jenny, Shonda, did some stuff.
Yes,
and Kathy, she's a workhorse. And others of you, of course, you know, the different things. But praise God. As far as photos, is it suitable if I open a Google Drive folder? We can just you can just upload there. Take whatever photos you want, okay. Copy them all. You know, I'm sure that we'll have some really good ones from Rob. Okay, that was like perfect timing. Yeah. I saw you yesterday with your big camera, and I thought, oh, I got to talk to him. I forgot that you took the bull by the horns. Huh? Yeah, thank you.
You're right.
And how about to the yeah, Kathy says no. Let's give Kathy, Jenny, thank you very much. You know, yeah, it was some hard work, wasn't it? But we enjoyed it, and, you know, Bernard and I would talk some years back about having something like this, wandering, and then we just said, let's do it, you know, and it all worked out really good. Excuse me for those who had to buy towels, you know, little things like that, you know, I feel bad, I'm not going out of shape about it, but you know, there's little glitches and stuff, but anyway, and you know that we're getting the email list together, and I think
Ray will take all that info, put it together in some kind of format.
Oh, great. Well done, Ray.
Yeah. But he hasn't finished it yet, so once he finishes it, we'll get it. Clean up, you know, I don't have to tell you to clean up, but they have cleanup crews that actually were paying a fee, but take care of your stuff.
And leave the key in the lounge where you picked it up, okay?
Okay.
You want and sign out? We don't need to sign out because we already paid. Okay.
Yeah.
And there's a list that's been circulating around here with contact information, and you didn't get it because I don't know where it is now, but...
Well, that's Ray. Ray's got it. He's pointing at it. Yeah, please, if you want to be contacted, please get on the list. If you don't, that's okay. We don't want to bother you.
We need to stack chairs or anything like that.
No.
Pick up around your area.
Yeah, what's that?
Pick up around your
area. Yeah, exactly. And the last thing is, you know, again about the money. God bless us all with more than enough. So we are going to be sending an amount to Hazel and Bernard. If you care to write me and suggest an amount, I'm open. But we'll just look to the Lord, okay? Something worthy of their, the workhorse worthy of their pay.
Not for a trip to Hawaii.
That's what I've got. Anything else?
I was going to say something about the food. So I'm communicating with the sweet Hispanic lady at the restaurant, and I try to get her to give me an idea of how much for 60 people or whatever. But anyway, we have an abundance of food. Eat to your heart's content. Well, we're going to go buy some bags or containers to put extras in. If we have extras and those who aren't traveling too far, if you want to take some with you, that's great. So.
Sounds good. Let's not waste any of it. You know. What happened to it? Good question.
He said that he might give it to us.
Oh. All right, Dalton. Yeah, I'll write Dalton, send him a text just now, as soon as. Yeah, it seems there was something else.
Recordings, maybe?
Recordings, yeah.
I can send on the same.
Google Drive?
Yeah, who's organizing Google Drive? Are you going to do that?
Well, you can do a separate one. Well, yeah, you can put it up on
just
one
place.
Not on one place.
Okay.
Whoever's organizing that, my email's on the list. Just send me an email, and I will get it on there.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you, Paul.
We need to be out by 3.
Need to be out by 3.
It's 104.
Well, then let's, do you know, have you ever sing Come and Dine?
Yeah.
Okay, let's sing. Come and dine, the Master called.
Come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table all the time. Be a friend of multitudes, turn the water into wine. To the hungry, call and tell. Come and dine.
Yeah, you will.
I'm going to talk to you.